the last jamming session of the year 1996. Tonight we have present Russ and myself and the Hades-based gang as Russ practices his jiggery pokery and does his technical wingity thingy. He's a monitor now.
Technician.
Oh, for a minute I thought you're some kind of cold-blooded reptile. Monitor lizard. Okay. This is the last one, and it's kind of a free session tonight. We have present a mole. We have also present commanding officer Tao, and his charming and delightful Russian-speaking bond mate. She says Foster Daniel also. We have present Preen and Teen, Kiri, Kara, and Laika.
Preen and Teen are going to be channeling?
But I don't know if they're going to be channeling, but they are present.
That would be quite a session.
Well, she has channeled before, has Preen. Preen.
Want to say something to the mic here?
Okay.
Guest per.
Okay, present down there is Russ, monitor, and special attendance by Edmund Blackadder. Correct.
All right, well, let's start off with the, as usual.
Okay.
The Wall Street.
Correct.
And the current market standing.
Down 101 today.
101?
101.
Drop and a half.
Biggest drop since July.
All right, so it's down 101 points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we discussed in the what I'm transcribing from Omar that we had channeled on a day that had dropped 70 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's just after you had declared DEFCON 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said one of two things could happen. Number one, the market could rebound, come back 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Or the market could keep going down,
mm-hmm.
in which case people would get a lot more worried and things would get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the market rebounded.
Correct.
Otherwise, you'd see a lot more problems than we already have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is 101 points stand for as far as those scenarios that are involved?
Okay, the situations remain the same. It could, on Thursday, recover.
Market
or... Yeah. Well, the market in this country is pretty much closed the world over. I believe it's a bank holiday in many countries of the world. So it will be closed tomorrow. Now, on Thursday, what could happen is people after the New Year's holiday will be feeling happy and prosperous and so on, and it will climb back up. That is the most likely scenario. But conversely, they could be feeling a little bit nervous and insecure, and being nervous and insecure could cause it to drop even more.
Okay, now how does the fact that it's New Year's Eve correspond with the fact that it dropped 101 points?
Well, it doesn't bode well.
Well, I mean, what does New Year's Eve got to do with it?
Well, normally,
it's not just the fact that it would have dropped anyway. Mm-hmm. I think it was something to do with New Year's Eve, correct?
Normally on New Year's Eve, it actually either stays very stable, right, and does not drop 101 points. It may drop 5 or 10 points, but on a general thing, it normally... on New Year's Eve stops on the positive note. The fact that it didn't is a little bit unusual, but it bodes into my calculations. If you remember the calculations and everything that I explained in detail concerning the fluctuations in the market and the fact that at the time when I made the predictions, we had approximately 2 years, right? That was almost a year and a half ago, correct? Everything is going pretty much as I predicted. Will you corroborate that?
Correct. Well, now, what kind of stocks are dropping that are making it go that far down?
All sorts of stocks, technical stocks, all sorts of things. That is partly due to the fact of the development of the technical nature, the fact that stuff is now starting to become obsolete, and they're coming out with the new generation of stuff. But the new generation of stuff, people are a little bit nervous of due to the fact that it has many bugs with the new technologies that they're using.
Okay. So it doesn't matter what stock's going to drop. It's That's the fact correct. That at one point, if any one of these larger drops that happen, where mm-hmm. it can just keep sliding.
Yeah, and could trigger an avalanche. That's the wrong phrase to use around this area, isn't it? Avalanche. But yes, in essence, that's what it could cause. The understanding that I have on this is the fact that it will most likely recover, not as much as it has dropped. But you remember my predictions about day after day after day of records?
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that at the end of it, there would be some serious drops.
And we're holding now with the drop part.
Well, when there was the day after day of records, then it was followed by quite a few significant drops. And that was back in July.
Right.
Culminating in a 70-point plummet.
Yeah, but we got a 101-point plummet today.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm.
So DEFCON 1 would be if it kept going down.
Oh, if it plummeted and it looked like 1929 all over again, or if 1929 happened again, which is quite possible.
Now, what's the difference that's going on now than what happened in 1987?
Now, the fact, because of what happened in 87, things are much more cautious. People remember that, and they don't go charging in like some desert general.
Desert?
No, desert. Can't think of yellow, milky type substance that the British are famous for.
Custard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So people are being a little bit more cautious in selling. And people, as I stated in the past, when they see a drop-off like this, tend to go, maybe I can make some profit here. If I buy now, pressing in the morning, let's say this happened yesterday, right? If I buy after 101 drop, right, I can turn around and make a quick profit.
That's a big result.
That's right. And the fact that people do that, make it go back up.
Predictions for Thursday?
Thursday. It's going to recover. Or I hope it recovers. Because I don't like seeing these negative drops. But unfortunately, that's in my prediction. So it's something that is there. It's going to recover, not much, but it's going to recover a bit. People are going to be feeling prosperous for the new year and so on.
Now, gossip from the base to add on to the webpage.
And do you want me to type that in later on?
Type it in?
Yeah, type it and email it to you.
Okay.
Save you a lot of work, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we did a good job on the last one. Team effort. Mark didn't channel, we told him what we wanted. You can tell what Kiri told Mark to write and what I told Mark to write. And then you can tell what Mark wrote. Three very distinct different styles. Okay, I will put on... I'll put on the next speaker.
All right.
Okay.
Greetings and felicitations for us.
Greetings, Omar. He has a little mind over there. It's going to be a problem.
No, he is not interfering within the field besides. The little mind can be dominated.
And how are you this afternoon?
this evening, I am functioning within specified parameters, and yourself. I believe, as Marx race, or part of Marx ancestry would say, happy hogmanay.
That's right. Absolutely. I've got some stuff on the photon belt I want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's an email that was sent to me by a gentleman that I need to respond back to, but I wanted to get some input from you first before I did so.
Okay.
This is concerning, once more, the Galactic Federation
that
we discussed before. First off, what is the Galactic Federation? Do we have a good definition for that yet?
It is a group of planets that are loosely aligned in a cooperative, non-aggression type pact. Mutual aid, as you might put it.
Similar to Sirius and other Earth.
Pretty much so, yes. Sirius is one of the keystones, as it were, one of the cornerstones.
Ah, okay.
But they have many, many obligations, as there are many, as Kiri puts it, sister worlds that have called upon Sirius in the past to help the home world and have in turn helped the home world.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Now, according to the transcription I have, there is a hologram that was placed around the solar system to nullify the effects of the photon belt coming through 3 days of the null field, or the null zone that's supposed to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And according to this email I got, it was then removed, and the mass landing was supposed to happen. And awaken and educate for the, of course, 3 days of disaster area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to him, the null zone is here today. Today was the first day of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 3 days started today. Now, I don't feel too different myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is a null zone. I'm going to have to hurry up and get here pretty soon. I don't anticipate any landing.
No. I doubt that there will be any landings.
Correct.
Or mass landings. There are landings going on all the time from anthropological groups, groups interested in your planet's structure, how the crust is made, geological surveys, natural history surveys, all sorts of landings occur all the time. Most of them are done in very secluded areas where there is no chance of them being spotted. Others are done by individuals that have a playful sense of humor. I believe in one of your popular paper entertainments, there was a reference to aliens landing, putting their antennas on their head, and marching backwards and forwards in front of unsuspecting individuals, making bleep, bleep noises. To which the comment was rather childish. Yes. But I think you are aware of where that comes from.
Correct.
These landings do occur. As for a mass landing, no. Okay, let us look at this null field. What does null mean?
Null would be an absence of everything.
Correct. So to say that it is going to cause problems is odd to give it such a name as a null field. Certainly, there are environmental factors going on at present that are being generated by the photon belt. The majority of the factors that are going on are affecting people in their psychological and spiritual behaviors. That there are environmental factors that are actually occurring. Unusual weather patterns, as was stated. I'm surprised that nobody has picked up on that comment.
Good point.
Look around. Tell me what you see out there.
A lot of storms.
Mm-hmm. It is not us this time. That was our mistake. This time it is natural phenomena.
Record snow.
Created by interference by another natural phenomena. You might call the photon cloud the El Nino of space.
Now, it's not going to get worse, is it?
Possibly, yes.
Okay. Now, he mentioned that a lot of the reasons why there are no landings is due to God's plan, or that of the spiritual hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't go on to explain the spiritual hierarchy. Is that like a larger council?
You have to be aware that there are other organizations other than Ashtar Command.
Right.
And these loose non-intervention pacts, there is discussion of the development of your planet and other planets. And it is deemed that when necessary, the situation will be reevaluated and looked at again. It depends on how a species evolves in advance and what it lands and what harm it does. If a species is very self-destructive and ends up destroying its planet before it develops practical spacefaring capabilities, then we do not concern ourselves due to the fact that we try to help every planet, then we would help nobody. We have to select those with the potential.
Now, if Earth was to self-destruct, let's say, prior to its space-faring capability,
mm-hmm.
Would Hades Base then be a write-off and just have to move it?
We would try to rescue what we can of those individuals that are promising. Then we would monitor the dead planet and hope and pray that life would start to evolve again. We would have to recalibrate our schedule, and the base would be scaled back tremendously from the current number of individuals to maybe just a few hundred.
Just for monitoring purposes only?
Mm-hmm. But in a strategy or strategic point of view, Earth is in a position where it is necessary to maintain a base, even if the planet is dead.
Just because it could be taken and used by other races.
Correct.
Okay. Now, would this to be to say that Hades Base has gone through quite a few changes since man has taken up a higher place on its planetary surface?
Most certainly it has.
So when was the last major change that happened on Hades Base?
We are going through one at the moment.
You mean with the arrival of the new squadron?
Well, with the new squadrons, the enlargement of capacity. Yes, that would be the best way to put it.
Okay. And this is because I would assume, and this is just an assumption, that Earth is arriving at a critical point in its future.
Saying critical is inaccurate. Its development is progressing on a higher level, but critical, no. Critical would suggest that it's a make or break.
Well, as we just discussed, I mean, Earth still has the capacity to destroy itself.
Mm-hmm.
Though I don't see that happening. It's still hard to tell with the photon belt or cloud going through, various unstable abilities in the Soviet Union. Former Soviet Union.
This is all part of what is being planned and predicted. These are not critical stages. Critical is when evolution starts to have a hand and to polarize groups of individuals of those that do and those that do not, if you understand my meaning. By those that do not, they become concerned and afeared of those that do.
Okay. So basically, we're at a regular point that you guys had planned for.
Correct.
And we're ready to make the changes necessary on the base to accompany those changes here on Earth.
Correct.
Right. Now, a little sidetrack on the ski race coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of that change?
No. This is something that is a nice interlude for the base personnel. It is, as you might call it, a holiday for them.
Okay. I thought we might be thinking of that way you could have people from other bases taking a look at the possibilities available there on.
No, we are not we are not on a recruitment drive.
Okay, well, that's insured.
And no, there is not vacancies for a fourth team from your planet.
Oh, well.
Besides, I think that most of the individuals that would be willing to participate would not be of the high standards that have been set by the teams that are participating.
That's true. Very true. All right, now back to what we're working on here, which is another email that I got. And this concerns the ritual for planetary ascension.
Mm-hmm.
That being the ritual being the mechanics of actual ascension.
Yes.
And this is something that happens apparently every 6 weeks. And it links Earth energy and the chakra system and activates the living light body, or Merkaba.
Mm-hmm.
And to different planetary vortex portals.
Yes, on the 6-weekly cycle throughout your planet.
Correct. I assume one of the vortex portals would be Sedona.
Say. Yes.
And then there's the other around the world. First off, before I get into the second part of this, I want to work on what exactly are we talking about here? Is this something that's actually happening and can happen?
It's just a way of bringing the higher consciousness of individuals to a higher level. It is a kind of mass meditation scattered over many places by using an electronical system.
The internet.
Correct. It is a way of getting information out and individuals pulling together from various points throughout your global network. It is a way of bringing new people and new energies into it. It is something that is necessary. It is something that is working, but not as people really understand. They believe that they're pulling themselves towards a higher mental level, which is, yes, true. They are pulling themselves towards ascension. Yes, this is true, but not as they think. They're not physically going to wake up one morning on the sixth dimension. They are one day going to find that they are more spiritually alive, more spiritually developed, more spiritually sound, more spiritually in tune, more spiritually capable.
Hmm.
And then one day they will pass, and then the changes will occur.
Oh, okay. Is this sort of like an unfocused metaconcert, let's say?
Very unfocused, yes, but in essence, yes. Anytime a group of individuals get together for a common purpose, then in essence what you have is a meta-concert. When you go to your recreational facilities and pray to a single entity, you are having a meta-concert. When you focus on one matter, on one matter alone, and have a group of individuals, then you are having a meta concert, unfocused most certainly.
Correct. Okay. It describes the portals as multidimensional doorways leading to astral planes, parallel universes, various other places, and you never know where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as they say, is the fun of it, not knowing where the portal. Now, for example, parallel universes. As we've discussed before, it's rare to find a portal to a parallel universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so does this have some possibilities of actually occurring?
No. It is wishful thinking on that part. It gives you the options of looking at the connections where events will lead to a parallel universe. As we have discussed in the past, the branches of a parallel universe.
Correct.
And this is the point where you can see if you proceed on this path, you will enter into this universe. Or if you proceed on this path, you will enter into this universe.
I understand.
So it is more along the lines of yes and no. Yes, you can perceive the possible outcomes of your actions if you act in a particular way. And that way you will enter it into parallel universes, but it will not appear to be any different from the one that you were in originally.
So this would be sort of similar to the times where I've actually, you know, like ingested some hallucinogenics and be able to get a glimpse in at the various parallel universes that are forming. I understand. It's just another perception of reality.
Correct.
And in any of those portals, as they're called, you are merely perceiving reality in a new way.
Correct.
Okay. Now, according to this, though, each of the portals are coordinated by shield guides, which are interdimensional beings who guard the portals. Sounds similar possibly to divas or...
Yes. I would not quite have worded it as divas or interdimensional guides. It is more of guides that are linked to other aspects of themselves that can shepherd and coach.
Give me an example, please.
Certainly. You have an individual that has become a guide.
Okay.
In one parallel universe, and in another parallel universe, he has also died and become a guide. And standing at the portal, he can see himself. And he can communicate with himself because they think alike. And he knows what the other guide would do. And that way, they are able to work together to shepherd and coach.
Now, in another parallel universe, wouldn't this same guide actually be one of the people that are going to the portal?
No. The guide stands at the portal and shepherds through. Passes on to himself. You get passed from him to him. But a different aspect of himself.
Okay. So basically, this is actually a very good thing to hook up into. As far as being able to gain more insight into, for example, hooking up with the chakra system to the earth energy.
Correct.
Some good clues there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, along this same line of thought, we've talked before about meditation and how to ground yourself, you have to hook up with the earth's energy anyway.
Yes.
Now, this is speaking of using the chakra system doing the same thing. Now, would this then be a linking up of each of the chakras in line to the earth?
They are already linked. It is just amplifying and reinforcing the connection.
Oh. Okay. Where have we seen this before relevant in our history as far as some of the religions? Would this be like Buddha or, I mean, Hinduism? Like finding your, what is it, Kundalini?
Kind of.
Well, not exactly, but getting there. Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, yes. Hale Bopp comet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently, there is a companion along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some spiritual implications about it, the companion. I wonder if I could get some information or insight into this.
There is no companion.
Oh, there isn't.
There is none.
Okay. what is exactly happening with the Hale-Bopp comet?
It is a very large comet.
Okay.
It is approximately 25 miles across. It is on a path that makes it appear to have a companion. It is behaving a little unusual due to the fact of its very size.
Oh, so in other words, it's just creating some strange gravimetric effects?
Possibly? Basically, yes.
I see.
You have a very dense, solid object that is 25 miles across in space, and what is it going to do? It will generate its own gravity field. Very weak, but it will generate it.
No, it's already passed by?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
And it has no shot at actually ever getting close to the Earth, except in a spatial sort of way.
In a spatial sort of way, yes.
And will we cross through its tail then?
Yes.
And what will happen at that point?
What normally happens?
Not a lot.
Meteors. Lots of beautiful meteors.
Because of the breakup of the comet.
Because of the dust particles that are given off.
Ah. Okay. Sounds like it'll be more of a light show than anything.
Yes.
All right. That's about all I have for this evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Amal.
Live long, prosper. I'll be back. And have a merry Hogmanay.
Thank you. You too.
Just lie down for a while.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, I've got a tough trivia question.
Okay.
In what movie did David Niven star in that was in both color and black and white?
Casino Royale.
No.
No. Was it the same movie was in black and white during the same show, or is it two different versions of the same movie?
It's the same movie, and it is in both black and white.
Black and white?
Yes, there are scenes in it where it's in black and white and scenes in it where it's in color.
He starred in it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think it's called Heaven Can Wait. It
must have been the earlier version.
He plays a navigator or something in an aircraft that is crippled, right? And his parachute is destroyed, and he jumps out, and the angel misses him and can't find him. And he wakes up in the morning on the beach, and there's a girl that he's talking to. And Mark's told me about this story. It's one of his favorite. And whilst he's in the airplane, I think he's a wireless operator or pilot, right? There's his dead tail gunner or navigator that is next to him. He's dead. And he's talking to this girl, telling her, basically his plane's crippled and everything, that he's going to jump out, and that he doesn't have a parachute, and he's going to trust to luck and so on. And he jumps out of the plane, and the angel misses him, and he wakes up in the morning on the beach. And the angel tries to get him to come up to heaven. And every time he dozes off, the angel finds him.
No, because there's another Heaven Can Wait that came out later with Warren Beatty, which is a completely different story from what you're describing. But I knew there was a earlier version. I just never
seen
it before.
I'll
check it out.
Yeah. I think it's called Heaven Can Wait. Well, that's what Mark's...
Well, Mark will certainly tell me when he gets up.
Yeah.
All right. The New Year's coming on.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the people looking at 1997. Usually odd years are a better year financially than even years are.
Yes, but things recently haven't been going like that.
Change.
I think it will. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, I'm going to put in the next person.
Okay.
As it's getting close to the tape turning over. In fact, it should do that very soon. If it has
click automatically.
Yeah, if it hasn't done it already. Okay. Hello.
Hello, Cara.
How's it going, dear?
Carrie helped me out here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
At the point, I wasn't sure if you control the body, you got the better all of a sudden.
No, she's sitting very close to me. And then we have the control part down on my head so that she doesn't interfere. And also the fact that Laika has got her head in my lap at the moment. I'm playing with her hair.
Sounds like a lovely trio.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, my dear?
I'm doing fine.
Good. So we've been working a lot together here lately.
Yes, we have, haven't we?
So let's talk about cycles, shall we?
Okay.
All right. Now, do you go through the same cycles? Right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And is this just a natural occurrence? Everyone has to, like, go at high speed on one thing that has huge spiritual implications for them?
Pretty much so, yes. But some people are outside that factor and they maintain that high energy all the time. Take Kiri, for example. She remains incredibly focused quite a lot of the time. Lucky girl. She doesn't lose lack of interest very often in things. But there again, she doesn't get a lot of interest in other things. For example, her sex drive for years has been the same. Very high, very intense. It climbs higher, and then it will slide back down gradually.
Now, this is basically all part of growing, correct?
Correct, yes.
And how does this compare also with the physical growing state?
Well, as a young child, you grow rapidly, and you're very active and hyper. It is not very often that you see a child that is young and growing, that is very lethargic and lacking in activity. Normally when you see a child like that, it is not very well, poor and sickly. So yes, the hyperactivity is relevant to the growing.
So that's physical, and then you take a break from that a bit throughout the rest of your life.
Yes, but it does affect you in the spiritual development and your interest. But the hyperactivity does remain in certain things when you're in a hurry to do something, for example.
Okay, I understand. Now, with the growth spurt that each of us goes on, the amount of rest means the between spurts is just the amount of rest needed due to the large amount of spurt that you had?
Yes, it is equal. If you have a huge spurt of activity, then you need to have a fair bit of rest. You run many miles, but you need about the same amount of time to recover.
And afterwards, you've rested. You're different from the point before the spurt.
Correct. If you're not, then you might as well not have had that spurt. Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
We have a few children around.
That's a wild guess. Not if I'm hearing you speaking to Ron.
No.
All right.
Apparently, they have come out to see what's going on. They fit right in. They're in their night clothes and
A few people are in their night clothes.
Okay. So I went from spurt to rest, now back to spurt.
Correct.
Without the rest, are you basically oftentimes burning your candles, say, like for Kerry?
Yes. How do you mean by burning your candles? At both ends?
Well, for example, you're burning brightly.
Yes. When I work on Kerry, I focus all my energy on Kerry.
Mm-hmm. Now, afterwards, do you take a rest period?
If I can, yes.
And after any period?
If I can.
You've done.
If I can, yes.
You can, you will.
There are times when you have seen me that I have looked very tired. My hair is not buoyant and it's limp and my eyes are kind of glazy. And that is when I haven't had the opportunities to take rests. And it's not just because I've healed two or three people. It's because I've been very busy and healed many. And I'm low on energy.
Now, can you draw energy from me?
Yes, I can. Too? When you're up here. You have to be close enough for me to reach out and touch, as it were. The further away somebody is, the less energy I can pull. From you, I can't pull any because you're too far away. Although I could pull energy into Mark's body through you,
right. But
not up here to me.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because there's just sometimes I want to heal you more than anything else.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I told him all about the mass landing.
Yes, he seemed to chuckle with that.
Yes. I said, you want to put yourself up this spot on little ship.
Myself?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, I would love to.
Yeah, we could take it early before the rush starts.
Yes.
I could see 12,000 people coming to Hayden Space for a ski race. I can't see that many people coming down to Earth to help educate us.
No.
Alright. Okay. Now, the amount of energy we can expend
is
proportional to the amount of energy we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Correct.
Now, the amount of energy we have is proportional to the amount of energy we can draw in from around us.
Mm-hmm.
So, why is it we never remember to draw in all the energy necessary that we need for any occasion that we have?
Because you never know exactly what that occasion is going to need. If you knew what every occasion was going to need, you'd know what the occasion was, how to handle it, what was going to happen, and it would be very boring and tedious. By being able to not pull in enough energy or pull in too much can be fun and entertaining and part of growing.
Well, for example, today up in heaven, okay, getting towards the end of the day there, starting to slow down a little bit, and I'm practicing Tai Chi. Okay. Now, at that point, I can start working on drawing in more energy to give myself some more energy.
Yes.
And that would be coming from the skews in the room and just basic earth energy around.
Correct.
Okay. Now, do you have any information on whether or not the photon cloud has any energy giving ability?
I believe we have covered that, yes.
Right. So, that's a new source I can draw upon as necessary.
Yes. And the reason we haven't told you to do so is because you have to learn that for yourself.
Right.
Now, but I believe that my sister